I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A lot of quarterback movement. Joe Flacco traded yesterday from the Baltimore Ravens. Well, he'll be traded on March 13th when the league year starts, but the trade has been agreed to. Joe Flacco is going to be the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. John Elway traded a fourth round pick. Ironically, might be the one that, fetched from the Texans for Demaryius Thomas, which would mean that's the second time in Joe Flacco's career that he's been somehow tangentially involved with a pick owned by the Texans. People don't remember. The Ravens took Flacco with the Texans pick back in 2008. The Texans traded back in that draft and took Dwayne Brown as their left tackle, and the rest is history. So just a funny little fact there.
Isn't it amazing that more often than not, and I'm struggling to find an example that denies this notion, most all-time greats as players do not pan out as executives. Right? I'm trying to think of one who really, really, an all-time great.
Jerry West.
That's a good one.
Jerry West.
That's a good one. But he is clearly the exception.
Larry Bird was really good in Indiana.
Yeah, you know, he was like, good. But I really think we're naming exceptions more often than not.
Well, you're asking
me.
I'm just naming ones that have come up. Newsom, I agree with you.
In Baltimore, he was considered to be a good job. I don't know if he was an all-time great.
Yeah. Right? I feel like they're better GMs than they are coaches, Rich. I feel like most of them have a pretty good idea of what makes for a good locker room and a good culture and a good team and are good at maybe judging talent. I think what you're bringing up here
is more a coaching thing.
I think it's super frustrating for great players to coach because these are things they could do so easily and they want to will their guys to be able to do it and they can't.
One GM that's a former player that's letting them hang right now. Elton Brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in Philadelphia.
76ers.
Yeah, he's put a good team together, man.
I know some of it was there when he got there.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's swinging for the fences.
Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are two great trades.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, I think that's a good clarification. It's more on the coaching / managing level. Magic Johnson was a disaster as a head coach. Not so good as a talk show host either. But a lot of these all-time great baseball players as well, you can go way back to, like, you know, Ted Williams took his turn at managing, and it was an abject disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. So John Elway is, I know he's got a Super Bowl on his resume, and I know that the Denver Broncos experienced some success with Peyton Manning. It's, you know, a crazy question to think of, and we'll get to Joe Flacco here in just a second. And not just Joe Flacco, but just what the carousel is going to look like in the NFL at the quarterback position. But an amazing hypothetical to think of. What if John Elway had not signed Peyton Manning back in 2012? What if Peyton Manning had actually Well, he wanted to come here was the rumor, right? Peyton Manning wanted to be the Houston Texans were better set up to win a Super Bowl in 2012 than the Denver Broncos were. The Texans were coming off a season in which they were 10-6 with T.J. Yates as quarterback for half the season. And if T.J. Yates doesn't throw three picks in a playoff game in Baltimore, who knows if the Texans maybe go on. And if Matt Schaub stays healthy, they might win the Super Bowl that year. Peyton reportedly wanted to play here, but the Texans settled for Matt Schaub. Again, the rest is history. But if John Elway did not bring Peyton Manning in, there's no Super Bowl, there's no four straight division titles, and John Elway probably isn't even the GM at this point because they would have failed much, much sooner than they're already failing right now.
Yeah, there's no question. The minute you bring up Flacco, I think about that move and the results of that move. Now, I know Flacco's no Manning, obviously.
Right.
But I immediately think of, because people sit back and go, well, how could Elway make that move at this point in time? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He had a lot of success very quickly with a veteran quarterback on the back end, the last year of his career, signing him late, playing great defensive football, running the football around him. And why wouldn't he swing for it again?
The dynamic is similar from that standpoint. You're right. That's actually a good point, because all the other guys we've talked about that have been running in and out of there since Peyton Manning have been either journeymen like Case Keenum, yep, or like a Paxton Lynch, a young guy that they – or journeyman like Mark Sanchez as well, but a young guy like a Paxton Lynch or a Trevor Siemian that they thought they might be able to develop into the guy.
Yeah, yep. But the thing I would say, Clint, is that Peyton was coming off neck surgery, which is a different type of question mark altogether. But once we saw that Peyton Manning could still play, like Peyton Manning was the MVP of the league in 2013. Joe Flacco's never made a Pro Bowl. He's literally never made a Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah, look, you don't have to convince me. There's zero doubt that Flacco is no Manning. I mean, nowhere close to it.
And, are you just trying to climb inside Elway's head and yeah, kind of go through his rationale?
I think there's a lot of things. As I've dug through this Flacco move, I mean, yeah, I've never been a big fan of Flacco. I think he's a distributor, a game manager at best. I believe that there's a lot of value in a guy that can manage a game and keep his team in it and allow them to play great defense and run the football and be okay with that and lead a team knowing that's his role. And so I think there's a value on that, but in no way, shape, or form am I putting him in mm-hmm. one of the all-time greats.
Right, sure.
In that category. But, the more I dig through this, that's one point I wanted to make. Number two, outside of Steve Smith, I'm trying to think of a receiver that he played with in Baltimore that was a real difference maker, a space maker, a guy like we're talking about, the Hopkins, Antonio Brown, the kind of guys that dictate what kind of coverage you're going to get.
Yeah, Anquan Boldin was pretty good.
Anquan Boldin was really good. He's had a couple of really good tight ends run through there.
If you just want to talk about pure speed, not necessarily production, Jacoby Jones had that for him briefly.
Yeah, Torrey Smith could go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's had some guys, but I don't know that he's ever been in a position where they were built, to throw the football, you know, down the field, stretch the field and really threaten teams, offensively in the pass game. And I don't know if that's going to happen in Denver. I think if we're going to have this conversation, it needs to start with he has been in Baltimore, and Baltimore's been built around great defense and great run game first and foremost. It's never been a priority to give Joe Flacco, the weapons to be a dynamic passer, you know, in this league. And so I'm not a huge fan of his, and I don't think he's an all time great, and I don't think he's one of the, in fact, I think outside of Trent Dilfer, he's probably in that conversation as far as quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. But I don't believe he's ever been put in position to put up some of the gaudy numbers that we compare him to.
Yeah. We'll see what he does in Denver. Look, Emmanuel Sanders coming off an Achilles. I don't know who's number one receiver is going to be.
Cortland Sutton, probably, who is why they let Demaryius Thomas
right.
go. He's an absolute beast. He's got a chance to be a big, big, big time receiver in this league. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, I just, when we talk about quarterbacks, Sean, and you know, we've done this many a times. When you talk about quarterbacks, we got to talk about the supporting cast, man. We got to talk about, you know, Deshaun Watson. We can talk about, you know, Deshaun all we want, but until they shore up that play calling that offensive line, he's going to struggle.
I get it. I guess here's where my frustration would be if I were a Bronco fan with John Elway is that, I mean, not only did you rush to get Flacco, like there was going to be, you know, like there was going to be some sort of land rush to go get Joe Flacco. The Broncos, even if they cut Case Keenum, they're still on the hook for $10 million in cap space with Case Keenum. Flacco's cap hit this year is about $18 or $19 million. They're going to be spending $29 million on the quarterback position with Joe Flacco and having cut Case Keenum. You know what I mean? Like that's the only team spending more on the quarterback position in the entire league is the New Orleans Saints. That's it.
Right.
It's the Saints with Drew Brees who made the, you know, probably should have made the Super Bowl. And then the Denver Broncos with cast off Joe Flacco, age 34, and $10 million in dead space because they gave Case Keenum a contract nobody else was going to give him last year.
Sure.
It's just the mismanagement of it, I guess. We'll see what Flacco does. What are your thoughts? Rich and I talked about this yesterday. What are your thoughts on Case Keenum? Is Case Keenum good enough to have one of those 32 spots in the league right now, or is he a backup to you?
What? I think he's a backup. If you just slot quarterbacks in the league and where's he going to fall? He's going to fall outside of 32, but I think you've got to take into consideration, which blows my mind. Again, I think on this station, we interviewed, one of the play by play guys from Denver last year, and he talked about Case Keenum, struggling, and because he was short, something to that, something to that nature. And then I was like, that's the same guy that won 13 games in Minnesota. Now all of a sudden he's got a size problem in Denver. So my point is, he's still the guy that won 13 games in Minnesota.
Okay.
He's still the guy that, Minnesota ran out there and paid a boatload of money to one of the hottest guys in the league relative to quarterbacks. And he still won more games the year before than that guy won last year.
Talking about Cousins.
Cousins.
Yeah.
And so, I believe if the whole total package, it would not surprise me if he wasn't a starting quarterback in this league. It wouldn't surprise me if Arizona didn't make a play for him. You know, with his ties to the style of football that he played in college.
To back up Rosen, right? You're talking Arizona?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think there's going to be a lot of movement in Arizona. I think, and I don't know the contract situations. I don't know, you know, the consequences and repercussions if they move a guy and how much dead cap space and who eats what. I don't know all of that. But it wouldn't surprise me if Arizona doesn't flirt with moving Rosen. And I think, I'm one to believe, not to get too far off track here, Sean, but I'm one to believe that Arizona, if you're going to go all in on Kingsbury, then you better go all in on the quarterback. And the best quarterback in that system is Kyler Murray.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you're going to gamble, if you're going to put him on the table, you better do it.
I think that's how you guarantee he doesn't consider the baseball option. That's going to be about $32-33 million guaranteed if he's the number one overall pick. I don't think the A's go that deep.
No, but I think a lot of the talk with Arizona, Rich, is that they would move back and take Murray. Like, that they don't have to take him with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't think they'd move back too far, though, right?
I think it just depends on how the market breaks.
I think it's a mistake by Arizona to go out on a limb and take that coach with that style of football and then have this opportunity and pass on it. And now you've got a guy that you clearly gambled on in this league. This league's never hired a coach that young and that air raid style of ball. And how's it going to train? And then you ask him to use a guy that's more of a pro style guy that he didn't draft.
Right. And
I just think it's foolish to do it.
And if you rated Rosen really high last year in last year's draft, I mean, he'd be a heck of an asset to acquire a quarterback 1 year in on his rookie deal.
Agree.
If you like him, and if you feel like the year in Arizona, as bad as they were, was not his fault, like you're going to benefit in some way from the bumps he took his rookie
year. One of the worst O lines in the sport.
Well, Sean, it ruined him.
He fits that mold, and I know you hadn't brought it up yet, but that quarterback carousel, the part that talked about the Breeze and Brady's and all these teams, Eli Manning, all these teams that are looking for, five or six teams that are looking for the next guy. Not right now.
Yeah.
They don't play right now, but the next guy, Rosen fits in that category.
Hunter, I said that yesterday to Rich. I 100% agree with that. Here's my thing with Keenum, to come back around to the original point I teased, because my feeling is I would love to have Case Keenum here as the backup to Deshaun Watson. System fit.
I'd love it too.
He's to your point, he won 13 games a couple years ago. If he were a guy who could consistently win 13 games, he would be winning more games in Denver. But I think he's a guy who's shown he's at least capable of winning some football games in the NFL, which as a backup, that's what you're looking for. When you're out there with a good team, can you manage the team and go win games? By my count, and Dan Graziano backed up the exact same five teams I had in the rundown in his article about this, I think there's only five teams that are going to be looking for a starting quarterback this year, potentially. Miami, I think, is going to jettison Tannehill.
Yep.
Cincinnati could jettison Andy Dalton, although the rumor is Zach Taylor likes Andy Dalton, so they may not even be on the list. We know Jacksonville's going to be in the market. The Giants could be in the market. We know Washington is in the market. Other than that, the other 27 teams all either have a veteran quarterback that they're married to, a quarterback who's been drafted within the last few years that they're married to, or they're clearly in line to draft a guy who maybe they see as the future. The bottom line is, you look at there's these five teams, and then you look at the quarterbacks that are going to be on the market, and I have a hard time believing Case is going to find one of these 32 starting spots when you consider Foles, Tannehill, potentially Dalton, Eli, Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater. That's six guys already who I would start ahead of Case Keenum.
Well, Keenum is not the type of guy that's going to make a stink in Denver about them acquiring Joe Flacco, especially since the Broncos are the franchise that guaranteed him the $25 million that will guarantee him financial security for life. I mean, I don't see him making a stink. He's probably not happy, but here's the thing.
He won't be a Bronco, though. They're going to get rid of him.
Why is that guaranteed? Let me just hear me out. Because The money he's scheduled to make in 2019 is typical backup quarterback money. I think we all agree.
Scheduled to make $18 million.
No. They're paying him $7 in cash in year two. They made him $18 last year, $7 this year.
He's got $7 million guaranteed, but his full salary is $18 million.
So what did they pay him last year?
$18 million.
No. He was only guaranteed $25 million for 2 years.
$18 last year and $7 this year, and his full salary this year is $18 million. I can show you a spot rack page.
Okay, that's not the impression I had. I thought he was making $25 million, period, regardless of circumstances.
He signed a two-year, $36 million deal, $25 million guaranteed.
All right, well, then that changes what I was going to say.
I'll agree with this. I mean, I'll disagree with you on this, Sean. Out of the six names that you threw out there, Foles is the only one that I think is a hook, line, and sinker. I'm starting him before I bring Keenum in. Tannehill, Dalton, Eli Manning, Taylor. I mean, you know, I like Eli. I'm not of the. I don't think he should be done. Yeah. I think they could. I think he's still got some gas in the tank, but he's clearly on the back end of it. But all of these guys: Bridgewater, Taylor, Eli Manning, Dalton, Tannehill. Keenum's in that conversation with those guys. Foles is a guy. Hey, I want that dude.
Yeah,
now.
Foles is a cut above all those.
Yeah, he's top of the list. But the rest of them, I don't. I mean, I like Keenum as much as I do the rest of them.
I know you do. I'm just curious if the league does. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you look at it, you go Tannehill, Dalton, Eli. They all feel like safer styles of quarterback, I guess. You know, the same reason that Elway's jettisoning Keenum and bringing in Flacco. You know, they kind of fit they're more accomplished than him. They're bigger, you know, the bigger, sure. You know, pocket types. I like Keenum better than a couple of those guys. So I'm just curious what the league thinks about him.
I think he'd be a great fit here. Back to your original point, yeah. I think he'd be a great fit here. I think Deshaun Watson would benefit greatly from being in the locker room with a guy that won 13 games 2 years ago and has just a crazy amount of experience in this league. But I think he ends up in Arizona, man. I think Arizona makes a play.
That'd be interesting.
Be some huge dominoes falling for him to wind up in Arizona.
I just believe, Sean, that if you're going to gamble, if you're going to roll the dice on Kingsbury, you better give him the right guys pulling the trigger.
I totally agree.
You better
with
give
that.
And I can't think of a better situation for what's coming in than a Kyler Murray, Case Keenum type situation at quarterback. Now, again, I don't know contractually, financially, if that's doable or not, but that would be an ideal quarterback situation. For that kind of gamble that Arizona's taking.
If an opportunity doesn't present itself for him to start, if we're assuming he's going to be a backup, I think Minnesota should be in this conversation.
Maybe.
Because not only are Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison in Minnesota now, he's an immortal.
He's beloved
in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I just wonder if he'd want to go back to the place where he was a hero and be the backup. I'm just curious about that. I don't know what the ego is involved. Case doesn't seem like a guy with a big ego. I just wonder what the dynamics are of backing up the guy who they brought in to replace you.
As long as there's six zeros on the back end of that check, man will swallow that ego, brother. I'm going to hang mine at the door.
Yeah. Didn't his first stint in Minnesota begin as a backup?
It did. And then Sam Bradford happened. Yeah, it did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.